This is the Netgroup Investments Insights Podcast, where one or more of our experts explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Mind of a Fund Manager. My name is David Levinson, Head of Responsible Investment in Netgroup Investments, and I'm very pleased to have in the studio with me today Ian Anderson, Portfolio Manager of the Netgroup Investments Property Fund. Ian, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
So, Ian, let's start with the headline. The fund delivered just south of 34% return in 2025 and has now won a Raging Bull Award for risk-adjusted returns. What does this award really represent to you as a fund manager?
Well, Dave, I think it's important that it's in the risk-adjusted category. That's particularly meaningful because it doesn't just recognize the outcome, it recognizes how that outcome is generated. So over the past 5 years to the end of December, the fund delivered an annualized return of just under 20.7%, which was very similar to what the SA Listed Property Index delivered. But the fund delivered that return with meaningfully lower volatility. Our volatility was about 12.5% versus nearly 17% for the index. So that meant that investors experienced significantly smoother returns for essentially the same outcome. And that consistency of delivering those returns is the real achievement.
I think that comment about material lower volatility is important. So investors in the fund weren't just rewarded, they were spared a lot of stress along the way.
Exactly. You know, roughly a quarter to a third less volatility over 5 years makes a very big difference to the investor experience, and it keeps them invested in the strategy. Yeah, you know, if there's too much volatility, they exit the strategy.
Thanks, Ian. So your recent monthly note alluded to the fact that the fund doesn't try to hug the benchmark. Can you explain your investment approach and what this means?
Absolutely. You know, we follow a very thematic, fundamentals-driven approach rather than trying to track the index weights. So ultimately, property is a local physical business, and we focus on rental growth, on vacancies, on the cost of occupancy, rather than worrying about how big a business is. And that often leads us to look very different from the benchmark, but we believe that's where the long-term alpha comes from.
Thanks, Ian. I think as part of our Best to Be process, we do try to identify managers that have an edge, and your willingness to look different has, I guess, been central to this performance.
Absolutely. You know, some of our strongest contributors over the past 5 years, companies like Dapula, Fairvest, Safari, and Octodec, they were either very small in the index or not in the index at all. And so doing the fundamental work in less covered parts of the market has been a major differentiator for the fund.
I think the thing that I find curious about property is the look through you can get to broader economic health and how different sectors are doing. So one of the stronger themes has been the South African convenience and neighborhood shopping centers. Why has this been such a powerful area?
Well, remember, these centers are typically grocery anchored and they serve a community and they serve the needs of that community on a daily basis. So structurally, these assets have typically had the lowest vacancy rates and also a very favorable cost of occupancy. And this is a very supportive environment for rental growth. You know, this is not just theory that we're talking about. You can see what the big retailers in South Africa like Boxer and ShopRite are actively expanding into these kinds of centers, particularly in the non-urban areas, which is where most of our exposure is at the moment.
So it sounds like a wonderful equilibrium where fundamentals and both the real world behavior are aligned.
Absolutely. You know, the data and retailer actions are telling us the same story. So we're very comfortable leaning into it.
Thanks, Ian. I just want to deviate a little bit to geographic positioning. So another striking feature of anyone that's looking at the fund is that geographic stance. So you're heavily overweight South Africa relative to the benchmark at the moment. Why is this?
Yeah, so I mean, we have close on three quarters of the portfolio invested in South African REITs or with geographic exposure to South Africa, whereas the SAPI index only has around 50% exposure to South Africa. Now, we believe that South African property fundamentals have been improving at a far faster rate than, for example, in the rest of the world. Obviously, they're coming off a much lower base, you know, but that's part of the story. So a lower base, rapidly improving fundamentals mean that the South African property stocks look a lot better than their global counterparts.
So, Ian, you are based in Durban and I am down in Cape Town. So excuse my bias here, but the Western Cape has stood out, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there's significant demand for space in the Western Cape. We've seen office vacancies decline substantially. You know, office vacancies in P-grade office space are now below 1%. So you're virtually guaranteed of getting rental growth. And also, Cape Town is the only major metro where office vacancies today are below their pre-pandemic levels. And we get a lot of that exposure through Spear REIT, which is, you know, one of the major holdings in the portfolio. It only invests in the Western Cape. But we see it in other areas of the market too. You know, Growthpoint's results reinforced the same trend. Their Western Cape portfolio doing a lot better than the rest of their portfolio. And obviously, the V&A Waterfront is a real jewel in their crown.
Mm. I think a lot of the local companies do have their tentacles into Europe. You have been cautious offshore, so especially the likes of the UK and Western Europe for that matter. So what's driven that decision?
It's been around the cap rate story. So higher global bond yields, elevated discount rates are putting a lot of pressure on valuations. And then these businesses are highly leveraged. That's what property is. And so, you know, if you have higher bond yields, higher interest rates, then refinancing the debt becomes a major risk. So, you know, we've obviously been underweight those markets, and it certainly has helped us protect capital over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I think to say 2026 so far has been volatile would be a gross understatement, but 2025 was also a volatile year for markets. So on that backward-looking lens, how did you navigate that volatility?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first quarter of last year was very, very difficult. I think we, you know, Trump coming into power and making all his statements that he made meant that there was quite a lot of weakness in the first quarter, but we were able to protect capital during that phase. We did underperform the market slightly during the middle part of the year, but then once the fundamentals in South Africa, once the market got sight of the improving fundamentals in South Africa, the last bit of the year was very good for our portfolio, given that we have that very large weight to South Africa. So, yeah, falling bond yields, the stronger rand, removal from the grey list. We also were up, we had a credit rating upgrade. All of those were very positive for SA and therefore very positive for the Ned Group Investments Property Fund.
I think as a property analyst, it was interesting to hear Trump eyeing out the biggest property deal in the world with his binoculars firmly on Greenland. But a lot of people are in this fund for that income component. Can you speak a little bit to distributions and the income growth aspect?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been very little income growth from property, you know, from the start of the pandemic to around 2024. But we started to see an acceleration in income growth last year. So distributions in the fund grew by around 7% last year. And we expect that to accelerate towards 10% per annum in 2026 and 2027. And the companies that are reporting now are upping their income growth forecasts. We had, you know, some really good results over the last week or so, you know, and so we feel very confident about that outlook.
Mm. On that forecast comment, so looking ahead, you know, what is the case for listed property at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think it's, you know, the backdrop that we're seeing at the moment is way better than what we've had over the last decade. We've got much lower interest rates. There's virtually no load shedding. We're seeing an improvement in fundamentals. There's been no construction, particularly in the office market. These businesses have much stronger balance sheets, and this is all supportive of higher share prices and higher income growth. So, you know, yields have obviously normalized, so that's not going to be where you're going to get your return. We don't see a big re-rating for the sector, and so the return is going to come from income and growth in that income.
Mm. Sounds like there's some maturation happening after the COVID unwind. But I mean, in your view, what is the role of this fund or listed property for that matter in broader portfolio management?
No, I think listed property still remains very under-owned in most multi-asset portfolios. So if you are looking for exposure to property, you're not going to get it in a multi-asset fund. So you need to go out and actively seek it. What a lot of investors have worried about is that high volatility that most of the other funds have or that the market has. So the differentiating factor with the Ned Group Investments Property Fund is that you are getting your property market returns with property market volatility. So it's not equity market volatility. It's not quite bond market volatility, but it's closer to bond market volatility. And I think that's where this fund stands out from the peer group.
I mean, Ian, what a wonderful place to end. So from myself, thanks for joining us and for sharing the thinking behind the Ned Group Investments Property Fund's performance and, of course, the positioning going forward.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure.
Thanks again for joining us for another episode of Inside the Mind of a Fund Manager. My name is David Levinson, and do keep your eyes peeled for future episodes.
This podcast is for marketing purposes only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.